You are listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with Steve Worsley, the toxic mold expert and your number one source for mold consulting and mitigation in the USA. Let's dive into a brand new episode. Before we get started on this episode, here's a not so short disclaimer. While all attempts have been made to verify the content provided in this podcast, neither the podcaster or the producers assume any responsibility for errors, omissions, or alternative interpretations of the issues discussed here. All information stated in this podcast is the opinion of Steve Worsley. Steve Worsley is a mold specialist with over 25 years of experience in the construction and mold industry. The Toxic Mold Podcast is for information sharing purposes only. The views expressed are those of the podcaster and his alone. These views should not be taken as expert instruction or commands. While there may be references to medical conditions and symptoms, all podcast episodes are the opinion of Steve Worsley, and any medical questions or concerns shall be addressed with the appropriate licensed medical professional or professionals. As the podcaster refers to different mold types, please be aware that Steve Worsley is not a microbiologist, and questions concerning mold specifics should be answered by the appropriate professional. Steve isn't, nor does he offer, any legal advice. For any legal advice, you must speak with a lawyer. The listener is 100% responsible for his or her own actions. You can check out Steve's books on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and search for author Steve Worsley. You can also take Steve's courses on Udemy or Skillshare, and you can find out more about those at cnccontractorservices.com. Now, let's get to the episode.
Hello, you're listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with myself, Steve Worsley, and today we have my wife again, Cassandra. How are you?
Doing good. How's it going?
I don't know. I feel like I've been sick this last month, so I don't know. It must be some sort of crud going
There's something
around.
Going around.
Long COVID, whatever. It's, I think I heard this week that they claim that...
Not real.
Yeah, it's fake. So, anyhow, today we are on episode 252, I believe. I actually didn't even write it down, but pretty sure it's 252. And today's topic is Emma versus Ermi. So we did a three-part series about mycotoxins, and we kind of covered those types of tests, but it's something that gets brought up all the time in the Facebook groups I follow. And it's, I guess for me, I kind of look at it, it's a bit frustrating how much the Ermi test is pushed. And it's not that I'm totally against it, but just isn't quite as accurate as everybody would like to make it sound.
Well, and for those who might be listening to this episode of the Toxic Mold Podcast, and this is their first episode, maybe let's start with, do Emma and Ermi test for the same thing?
No, not at all. So the acronym ERMI, that means Environmental Relative Moldiness Index. That's what ERMI means. EMMA is Environmental Mold and Mycotoxin Assessment. So for the ERMI, it's only mold species that they report, whereas the EMMA, it's mold species and mycotoxins.
And why is that difference important?
Well, to kind of give a quick explanation, so you have mold types that, well, they're classified in three different categories: allergenic, pathogenic, toxigenic. Toxigenic mold types produce and release mycotoxins. The mycotoxins, obviously they're toxins. They are a secondary, it's not a chemical, I'm not sure how I would explain it, but it's a secondary thing that is released by the molds. Those, once they're in your body, just wreak havoc. So you have a mold, which is one thing, and then you have a mycotoxin, which is another thing. So you can have mold in one room, but mycotoxins spread throughout the home. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so we want to test and see, and for the most part, you know, it gets kind of complicated to, and I don't want to get down deep rabbit holes, but for people that are mold sensitive, or they have sears, or they have Hashimoto's or autoimmune disorders, they're going to be more sensitive to those mycotoxins compared to a healthy person. And sometimes the mycotoxin testing is necessary if mold remediation has been completed, but our client is still sick. Does that make sense?
Yes. So then it sounds like the EMMA gives you a more comprehensive assessment of what's going on than the ERMI by itself.
Yes. Yeah. And once again, not to, we did way back several years ago, we did a two-part series about ERMI, and I was probably pretty harsh towards the ERMI test. And I've changed a little bit. Like in the past, I really thought ERMI was not really relevant, and I've evolved a little bit. And I there's a time and place for the ERMI testing, but on the other hand, it's frustrating to see how it's pushed, because the ERMI test was done by scientists at the EPA as a research tool. And even to this day, if you Google or go to the EPA's website, they do not recommend ERMI testing for indoor air quality concerns. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
The ERMI is, it's a like a scoring system. So I don't know for sure. It all depends. Like, I think you answer several questions about your personal health, and then that puts you in a certain category, like low risk, high risk, medium risk. I don't know how it's done. But the score that ERMI gives you, if it's a 12 and you're a high risk, they're going to say that's a problem. If it's a 12 and you're low risk, they're going to say, well, you know, you probably don't have any issues. But my point is the scoring system can be very misleading. And what they do for the scoring system, and I'm only speaking to my knowledge, and I don't have a whole lot with ERMI, but what they do is they have a list of the mold species that they're looking at, they determine how prevalent they are in the sample, and then they give you a score. Does that make sense? And it, to me, it can be very confusing. And on the other hand, when ERMI's being pushed all the time, the issue I have with ERMI being pushed the way it is it's being done by DIYers, and they don't know what their ERMI score really means.
Absolutely. So, but I also get the sense that it's a snapshot of the mold that's found in that sample in that one room.
Well, so typically the sample's several rooms.
Several rooms. But does that open it up for not being comprehensive enough because it doesn't capture the full, all of the issues going on in the home?
Yeah, that's very true. But I want to be clear with our listeners, there's no silver bullet test out there that we can just run one test to determine the overall indoor air quality, period. We have to do, once again, and this is why I get frustrated with the ERMI, any mold testing or mycotoxin testing, I don't care if it's traditional testing, which is, you know, air testing, tape lifts, swabs, bulk samples, any type of mold testing should always be accompanied with a mold inspection. And there's no test out there that you can just say, even the EMMA test, there's no test out there that we can just do the test, get the results and go, yep, everything's fine. It's like you going to a doctor. They have to assess you as the patient. They don't just do blood work. Like, you can't just call your doctor and say, hey, I feel terrible. Can you call in an order to do this, this, and this, x-rays and blood work. No, they're going to say, no, you have to come in and see the doctor.
Absolutely. So really, it needs a comprehensive evaluation, which typically involves a mold inspection, along with a variety of testing, of which ERMI and EMMA could be parts of it.
Exactly. But when it comes to, and the reason I wanted to talk about EMMA versus ERMI is, if we're going to spend that kind of money, which they're both around $400, if we're going to spend that kind of money, I would always recommend the EMMA test, because it is both what the ERMI is. So the ERMI is a PCR DNA test. It's includes that, and then it includes mycotoxins. So it's actually two different tests.
So you get more bang for your buck with EMMA
exactly.
versus ERMI.
Yep. And I don't want to lead our listeners down a road where they go, well, Steve's contradicting himself. We sell EMMA testing kits that we have shipped right to their home. They can do the test themselves. We get the results, we send them the results, and we say, hey, we have some issues, or hey, everything looks fine. Even if everything looks fine with the testing results, it's not in my best interest for my clients to tell them everything looks good. They should have a property assessment, always. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And so if somebody is listening to this and they're like, well, I've heard online that ERMI is absolutely the way to go, and I've never heard of this EMMA thing. What are they getting? What's being assessed and what kind of results are they getting with EMMA that they may not get with ERMI?
The mycotoxins.
So a list of mycotoxins or?
Yeah, they have a list of mycotoxins that they test for. And it's like 10 to 15 of the mycotoxins that are known to be harmful to humans and pets. It's mycotoxins. ERMI does not test for mycotoxins. The ERMI test tests for, I think it's 26 different mold species. And some of them are irrelevant. They're not even known to be harmful to humans. So I'm not saying it's not a good test, but it's just not giving us enough information. And on top of that, like I said, this is just a built-in bias that I have. ERMI is pushed by so many people, and it's being pushed as a DIY test. And the EMMA is the same thing. EMMA is a DIY test. Of course, I can do it when we do a mold inspection. But the concerns that I have with the ERMI is people aren't being told, and it's, you know, it's the Schumacher protocol. They're not being told like, hey, an inspection is just as important as testing. Yeah. And to me, actually, an inspection is more important than testing. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
Because we could do a property assessment and find whether it's viable or non-viable, dormant versus alive, we could find mold infestations. And at that point, I would say, hey, there's no reason to run an ERMI test or an EMMA test or any test, which I just showed you a thing I saw on Facebook today where testing companies, there's a lot of them that really push that you need to have testing done prior to remediation. That's another subject we'll talk about in another podcast episode. But this is my opinion, and for the most part, there are circumstances where I would change how I feel about this, but for the most part, I don't believe you should waste your money on any mold testing if we see mold that's present and we need to do remediation. Save that money, and I've dealt with clients where they spent thousands of dollars in testing prior to remediation, and I'm sitting there going, well, why?
Yeah, why'd you do that?
Their reasoning in the mold testing company is, as well, because they're mold sensitive. Okay, fine, but as far as CNC contractor services, we don't change our remediation protocols based on the mold types present. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
So it doesn't even matter to me what kind of mold species are there. It has to be dealt with.
So just going back to the EMMA for a second, is EMMA testing mycotoxins in the home? I know there's also testing for mycotoxins in a person's body. So
the EMMA test is from Real Time Labs.
Okay.
They do the medical side. That's how they came up with the EMMA test. They do the medical side. So I believe it's blood or urine sampling. And then they created the EMMA test to kind of coincide with the medical side. To answer your question, the EMMA test and the ERMI test are on the building itself.
Okay.
Not the body.
Okay. So then somebody who wants to test to see if their home has mycotoxins would use the EMMA test, but if they wanted to see if there are mycotoxins in their body, they'd have to go get a mold literate doctor to test them some kind of way.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And once again, there's several different labs out there. As far as the labs that I can talk about right off top of my head, you have Real Time Labs, and this is that does medical testing. You have Real Time Labs, Mosaic, which used to be Great Plains. You have My Myco Lab. You have Sunrise Labs, LabCorp, Vibrant Wellness. I'm trying to think of the other ones, but they all do mycotoxin testing on the body. Now, all of them have different types. Like some of them do urine testing, which I'm not a doctor, but I don't know how accurate a urine test is from what I know. Now, I have a couple doctors I'll be interviewing here in the next couple months, and I'm going to talk to them about that. But, you know, I believe that, in my opinion, I believe that you should do blood testing for the body.
Okay.
And the reason why, and I'm not a doctor, I have no training in this at all, but in the urine sample, how do you know if your body's expelling that?
You don't. Well, I mean, if you're using urine, all of that depends. How much water did you drink this morning? Did you pee it all out by the time you actually tested it? There's a lot of factors that could affect the efficacy of the test results, whereas blood is blood.
Exactly.
So it will always, what is concentrated in your blood, no matter what you eat or drink, is still going to be there.
Exactly. You know, that's why, like I said, I'm going to interview a couple doctors. I'm going to talk to them about it. It's just something that, and I want our listeners to understand this, and I'm sure they do. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not claiming to know enough information to say a urine test is irrelevant. I'm not saying that. I just, from what I have seen and understand, it could be questioned, the, like you said, efficacy of the test if they're doing urine. But to go back to what we were talking about, those are the medical mycotoxin tests. Okay. So those are things that they're looking for in your body to see. And once again, I don't know this part of it. Like, how do they know if it's a mold? What if somebody grew up in a moldy home?
Exactly.
And they're 50 years old and they have been out of that moldy home for 30 years. Like, how do they know?
Yeah.
That's where I think the urine, the blood serum, like the My Michael lab, theirs is like a blood serum test.
Okay. So then at the end of the day, what are you, for those who are listening, what are you recommending? Emma, Ermi, medical Michael, what are your recommendations?
Well, I guess it all depends on what their situation is. Like, I don't think, and this is just an opinion, I don't think it's worth spending a bunch of money, even if it's the medical side, on testing until you have a property assessment done. Because, and the reason I say that is, we could do a property assessment and we can find visible mold or even a bunch of water stains. We have a client that, you know, there's a family of five and two of them are sick. In my opinion, even if I tell them we'll go do mycotoxin testing on the medical side, if there's a mold infestation and remediation needs to take place in the home, I personally don't think it's relevant for them to go do medical testing. Do you think it would be relevant for them to do the medical testing if we find that remediation's the next step? I don't believe it's necessary.
See, I would say yes. And the reason why I would say yes is to have a before remediation medical baseline of where their mycotoxin load is.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 to 9 months, maybe even as early as 3 months after remediation, go back and do the testing again.
Right.
To see if their mycotoxin load or exposure has decreased as a result of mitigation.
Right. Like, I completely agree with that. But that's where it's difficult to just answer the question you asked me. Like, would I recommend all that? Well, first and foremost, property conditions are very important. Their checkbook, if they don't have the money to do all that, then of course
that's
I would
true.
Say...
That's a factor.
You know, so my point is every situation, just like our bodies, is unique. And it's different. And there's no straight answer to say, of course I recommend doing mycotoxin medical testing prior to remediation.
Yeah.
When I come up with my opinion and what I'm telling my client and our listeners is based on, I'm looking at it from big picture, you know, that they don't have endless funds to spend on testing.
Which most people don't, but I would say, even if they didn't have the money to do the medical mycotoxin testing before and after, I would think as a layperson, doing the EMA is critical, because if the EMA comes back and says, hey, there's a lot of mycotoxin exposure happening in your home, then you know for sure you have to look at that more deeply. If you know you've already done medical mycotoxin testing and you have mycotoxins in your system, but the EMA comes back, no, there's really no, then you're getting it from somewhere else. So I feel like the EMA is critical, because you need to know where you're actually getting exposed. And
exactly.
It might not be your home.
Exactly. And I want to be clear too with our listeners, like, once again, every situation is unique. And even if the EMA comes back negative, we can look at it and say, well, did we get enough in that sample? I mean, there's factors of an error on either the lab side, which I don't think that would be likely. But as far as who gathered the samples, we would question, where did you gather those samples?
Because
it's important when you're doing ERMI or EMA, it's important. And once again, this is going to sound contradicting. It's important to get several different areas sampled. Now, that's the problem I have with Emma and Ermi. If you're sampling five different areas, how do you know where it's at?
That's true.
But on the other hand, we're trying to figure out if it's in the home. Now, if you get an Ermi that comes back and it's not bad, but you have the medical mycotoxin testing that's shown you have the mycotoxins. And we know it's a very accurate type of test, you know, like a blood test. We can say, well, did you do a proper sampling for the ERMI?
Correct.
Does that make sense? And so that's why it all comes back full circle for me. And that's why you should have a professional doing it. Exactly. Now, am I saying that our listeners can't do the EMA or ERMI? Of course, I'm not saying that because we offer those packages. Mm-hmm. But I'm just being clear that a property assessment, in my opinion, is the most important thing.
Correct.
And obviously, once again, having the proper professional doing it is very important.
It's critical. It's absolutely critical. So given all of that, what's your call to action for people?
So if you think that you do have mold concerns going on, you need to get a hold of a local mold inspector that is obviously certified, licensed if necessary, insured, that will do a proper and a very thorough property inspection.
Absolutely.
It's crucial. And you know, I mentioned it earlier, like we have, and this is new for CNC Contractor Services, we do offer mycotoxin testing packages on our website.
We certainly do. And before long, we will also be offering digital education in the form of a mycotoxin prevention kit, because you might be listening to this and you might be saying to yourself, man, this is the first time I'm hearing about mycotoxins. I really need to know more about this. We'll be launching that mycotoxin prevention kit shortly.
Yes. Yeah, I think I have all the recordings done now. I just got to put some stuff together. You've put a lot of worksheets together. It's going to be a very thorough package, digital package. It'll have audios, videos, worksheets, checklists, things like that. And we're going to offer it at a very low price. So that, because we obviously do this podcast for awareness. But on the other hand, we have to make money too.
That's true. And I mean, you're going to want the mycotoxin prevention kit if you have even a 2% concern that maybe there are mycotoxin issues going on in your home.
Yeah. But just so our listeners know, you can order the EMA testing kit through us. The price is the same if you go right to Real Time Labs. The difference is for the same price, if you purchase it through me, you actually get my feedback on the results. If you go through Real Time Labs and you purchase the kit through them, I'm not going to give you that feedback. You're going to have to book a consultation.
Absolutely. So it's absolutely worth going to cnccontractorservices.com. And if you're going to do mycotoxin testing, purchase it there.
Perfect. We appreciate all of you for listening. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you go to our website at cnccontractorservices.com and sign up for the mold investigation checklist. Again, go to cnccontractorservices.com and get your free mold investigation checklist today. You can also on cnccontractorservices.com find out more about Steve's courses and books and consultations. Once again, go to cnccontractorservices.com.